Morning, everyone.
Morning.
I'm going to give you a little bit of an overview of what, if you weren't here last week, of what I covered. And it looks like I'm moving in, and it probably is true. So let me just drop some things very quickly. I promise I won't be moving in long. God is good.
Amen.
He is never changing. He is always the same. He has always been holy. He has always been loving. He has always been merciful. And He has chosen to relate to us in many ways that now we're in the best way through Jesus Christ. In the beginning of time, Adam, as I did before, I'm going to make the pulpit the cross. And on this side here, we'll have the Old Testament. We'll start off in the Garden of Eden, where God was intimately in love with His new creation, man and woman, and He was fellowshipping with them. In the cool of the day, He would hear them, and they would hear Him, and they would enjoy one another. Sin came about, and as we see throughout the Bible, you know, it's a destructive thing. Sin is really it's something that damages people. It damages us. We're not made. Our bodies are not made to sin. It sounds weird, but when I steal from you, I've hurt you, I've damaged you, and you get hurt. You do, your body hurts, you hurt. And so we come along to the Old Testament, and we see, I'm going to put you the Big Ten, that God wanted intimacy with us if you fulfilled the Ten Commandments. And so I've called them the Big Ten, but it's not got nothing to do with wildlife whatsoever. Let me get my next prop out here. There was a spotless lamb that was required for a sacrifice of sin. So what would happen, as my illustration from last week, was that we had sin. And sin would come through in our lives. And as I stole from you, and as I exaggerated about how much money I was getting, and as I trying to impress my friends, and as I, you know, I just generally, I'm a nasty kind of person. So I've got this sin in my life. And I would require a spotless lamb. And the priest would inspect the lamb and say, no, this is a spotless lamb. And he would slay it, and the blood would be shed. And what would happen was that the blood of the lamb would cover my sin so that I could have a relationship with God. So this blood of the lamb would cover, and God would see me pure, and God could have a relationship with me again. The problem is that deep inside here, I could still see what was really going on inside my heart. Deep inside here, there really is. There's hangers here. Trust me. You might think it's all just cloak and dagger, but there's sin in my life. And cloak and hanger. Let's not do that. Let's not go there. And so we see that our sin over here, that we had a spotless lamb, and that our sin was covered, and this is very important. Speaks of this is atonement, the word atonement. We come into the New Testament, the cross of Jesus Christ, the perfect lamb, not a perfect lamb, the spotless, perfect lamb was slain, his blood shed for our sins. Now that blood doesn't just cover our sins, what it does is it removes our sins, and the scriptures here of Psalm 103:11. So, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love towards those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. And so He removes our sin. John 1:29, the next day He saw Jesus coming toward Him and said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so no longer am I worried about this covering that I do have, the blood of Jesus Christ, that as I believe, because it's all about believing, as I believe that blood that was shed was for the forgiveness of sins, it's a removal of us. It's far, far, far away from us. Like the east and the west can never meet again, so far has He taken your sins away from you. And so in this one over here, in the New Testament, God requires... Let me go back a bit. We had to have a intimacy with God. We had to have obey the Ten Commandments. We had to have a spotless lamb, and our sin was covered. And we related to God in this manner. We were blind. We couldn't really have intimate fellowship with him. And should have a little cane of sorts. But this is really what this was about. We were blind and we couldn't see God for how he really wanted us to relate to him. He really wanted us to relate to him because he longed for this day. Back in the Garden of Eden when there was no shame, no sin. It was just an intimate relationship. And so what he does is we have this grid of rules on how I can relate to God, and I need to obey those things. And if I get this covering just right, then for a passing time we could be intimate with one another. But even then, you know, he was displeased because what was really going on inside my heart. And so I'm going to leave these up here. Those are 3D glasses, but just think that they're glasses for other people that visually impaired. Where's my other glasses, Sherwin? So now, how we relate to God now is that we had to have intimacy before we received this message of grace, the fullness of grace. We would relate to God with these kind of glasses. So I would look at you, but you look like you could be frowning or you could be happy. I'm not too sure in how I should relate to you. And things seem a little bit distorted. Because I know that you've forgiven my sins, and if I was a really good Christian and I read my Bible and I did all the right things and I worked really hard, it's because I'm a son of God, and I've got to take these off, I'm going to fall over. It's filling. And if you really are a good son, you should know better. I used to tell my boys this, you're my boy, you should know better, shine up. And that's the way I saw God relating to me. So I was looking at this cross with I know there's forgiveness of sins there, but I'm not too entirely sure if God is always happy with me. If he wants to really be intimate with me. If I can be intimate with him, because I don't know if I've done enough. Have I covered all my bases? Because I really want to be intimate with God, but sometimes I just don't feel like it. Sometimes I just don't feel like reading my Bible. And so I was wearing these glasses. So in the New Testament, I used to wear these kind of glasses. I'm trying to be very careful because they're Sherwin's glasses. There we go. He was the spotless lamb. And also, our sin was removed, not just covered up. Good news. That is good news. We also went on, and I'm going to come to this a bit further on, that as our sin was removed, as we carry on in life, and we stumble and we sin, are we now having to now reapply the blood of Jesus? Or is that sin removed from us? As the scripture says, as far as the east is from the west, he has removed all our sins. And so while I'm going to leave the blood over here, because no matter how far in time at the cross, no matter how far in time we go, our faith is in that day when he sacrificed himself. Jesus says, I give up my life freely. He said, no one takes my life. I lay it down freely. And so while we killed him, that blood removed all of your sins. All of the future generations to come. All of their sins, because he was the pure spotless lamb. Because of Adam's sin, because of one man's sin over here, all of mankind was under a curse. Because of one man's obedience and one man's righteousness here, all who will believe from that day on, and all those that believed in God's promise, all their sin is atoned for here at the cross. It's a beautiful thing. This is too wonderful for us to comprehend. So, how are the hangers removed? Is one of the questions I wanted to kind of cover with this morning. How are these hangers removed? Because I wanted to cover this last week. I just ran out of a bit of time. But I was really walking around thinking that I had a part to play in having these hangers removed in my life. I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about anyone else. I would teach people. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so I really believe that this sin couldn't ever leave me. Couldn't ever leave me. Unless I confessed it, because that's what I saw in Scripture. And as I went through, just kind of like finding out more about it, I realized that this book was written to Christians who were being influenced by Gnostic teaching, which said, number one, let me read it out to you here. Nothing can be known about the existence or nature of God and or anything else beyond the material phenomena. So things that we can experience. And so they were teaching, the Christians that were there, that this letter was written to them, and he was saying, what you're actually saying, guys, is that you're denying that you even sin. Because that's what they said. They said, there's no such thing as sin because sin is part of matter. And so it can't be evil. Matter, you know, it can't be, it couldn't be part of sin. And number two, they also said that Jesus couldn't have come as God because if he came in flesh, then flesh and God couldn't coexist together. And so what those people were saying was, we don't actually recognize or acknowledge that we have any hangers. And secondly, we don't actually recognize that the cross ever took place. That's what they were saying. And so they're saying that we don't recognize in their teachings, these Christians, they're being influenced by this teaching, saying, well, there's no hangers and there's no cross. And the writer here is saying, if you acknowledge that you have hangers, and if you acknowledge the cross, Jesus Christ, 100% God, 100% man, then he is faithful and just to forgive you of what you're denying you actually have and cleanse you, remove it from you. And so I realized that passage of Scripture was saying, if we acknowledge that we have sin in our life, if we acknowledge that Jesus Christ, because the previous chapters go through and they say, we have seen him, we have heard him, he was real, he was man, he was God. He's imploring them to say, acknowledge that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, God and man, 100% of each, and acknowledge that you have hangers. And then, if you acknowledge that you have hangers, and you acknowledge that he is God, then he is faithful and just to remove that sin from you, and it's not dependent on you. He has finished the work. So, I hope that helps out a little bit there. See, I was in a place of saying, if I needed to confess my sins and have them removed, if it was dependent on me to confess my sin, this was my dilemma, Jimmy's dilemma. If I needed to confess my sin in order for God to forgive me this, I don't want to stand before him. Because I see in Scripture, he is mighty, he is strong, he is holy. How can I stand before him with confidence with just this one I forgot? It's not going to cut it. And so when I realized that this sin is 100%, all my sin is 100% removed, east is from the west, on the cross, I can really be free to enjoy him here and now. And it's not dependent on me. Jesus finished the work. See, if I acknowledge, if I am in an intimate relationship with God, I would want to acknowledge. What about confessing sin? See, when I'm confessing my sin and I've got this hanger, I'm acknowledging, number one, that it's destructive. Man, when I lie to you, I'm potentially damaging you. It's not beneficial for me. Number two, it has consequences here on earth. If I'm messing around with someone that's not my wife, and they fall pregnant, there's consequences here. So while God removes that sin from us, there might be potential consequences for while we're here, living here on earth. And number three, and this is my most important thing, this has been the headline of headlines for me while I've been in this journey, is this. It is because of Jesus that I can stand here in righteousness. That has to affect me. It has to result in a thanksgiving and say, you laid down your life so that I could be free in mine. This is the biggest thing for me. It's not so much who took the hanger. I'm going, I've messed up, God. I know it's potentially damaging to people around me, to myself. It might have consequences here on earth. If I'm speeding down the road and someone walks out, oh Lord, not clever. Thirdly, and this is the biggest thing for me, is because you did this, because of this, Great sacrifice. I am not worthy, but look at what you've done. You've removed my sin from me, that I no longer have to walk in shame and guilt, but I can enjoy you all the time. Man, God, that is such a thought that's too wonderful to comprehend. I'm forever grateful for what you have done here. And I don't want to carry on like this. I don't want to carry on being destructive. I don't want to carry on messing up. I want to have your life ruling and reigning in mine. And the one scripture that I covered last week, and this is where we're getting to this morning, is who are we really? Ezekiel 11:19 says, we're given a new heart. Here's my heart of stone. Before the cross. Well, actually, theoretically, we're over here. So I don't even recognize the cross. I'm a proper heathen. I'm loving life. I'm doing things I'm not even going to tell you about, because it's for another conversation. I've got a heart of stone. This heart of stone here, that's my heart. The Bible says I've got a heart of stone. The Bible says, and I will give them one heart and a new spirit. And I will put within them, a new spirit I will put within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. So now in my bag of tricks, I've got a heart of flesh here. I'm joking. I'll just use a light instead. I could see some people are going to be a little bit upset about it. All the hunters are going, come on, Jimmy, just be real to the scripture just once. Let's see that. But so here you can see this representation. So God's saying, as you believe, Jesus Christ came to earth, died for your sins. He's taken out this heart of stone that just loved to mess up and be destructive and do what the flesh felt and liked. I'm going to do that. And he says, I'm going to take this heart of stone out and I'm going to replace it with a heart of flesh. And the scriptures go on to say that God has done the work for us. Ephesians 1:4 says, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Because there are no hangers here, we can be holy and blameless before him. He did the work. He took the hangers off. In the Old Testament, there was the thing of saying, be holy as I'm holy. And so I would run around trying to find this a land that was spotless. Cover. And I might have forgotten one, so I'm just going to do a generalized covering on top of that. So I've got multiple coverings, but then next year that covering's gone, and so you've got to start again. And I would run around with this heart of stone, because natural desires were, I like sinning. Sinning is fun. And so I would run around trying to patch up, because I also wanted this. I also wanted a relationship with God. And so when I come into this place, he gives us a new heart. And what he says is, instead of be holy, shine up, be holy as I am holy. He comes to this side and he says, it's an empowering command. Like he says, let there be light, and there was light. He says, be holy, and boom, we are holy. Be holy, sins removed, boom. Blood of Jesus covers, heart of stone out, light, heart of flesh in, boom. We are there. So this heart of flesh, we are holy and blameless before him. And with this new creation comes new desires. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. You know you're a new creation? Your old person has died. With that heart of stone, as that came out, your desires to want to do things has changed. Because inside that place, he has replaced it with the heart of flesh. A new creation, the Holy Spirit within us. The old has passed away and behold, a new has come. The second point I want to make is our hearts, our new hearts, direct us. People saying, so, if we're not under the law over here, how should we know how we should live? It's a good question. In the Old Testament, we were directed by our heart of stone. And that this here was a guide with our heart of stone. And we're trying to see God, but we couldn't see him clearly because this heart of stone is really the thing that needed to be replaced. This thing needed to die. And so he needed to take it out, remove it, And we needed to move into a better covenant with Him. Where He says, I'm now going to replace this. These desires that you did have are still going to be around because your body's been used to those things. But I'm going to give you new desires. My desires. I'm living in you now. You're no longer living for yourself. I'm living in you. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? How's that for another mystery? Upon mystery, upon mystery, upon mystery. God Himself is dwelling. Not a portion, not a little bit, but God Himself, His Spirit dwells in you. I'm going to take this off. Number one. That's it. Steve was saying that that spirit was used to condemn people. Scripture was used to condemn people. What did I say? Spirit. Sorry, thank you. That scripture was used to condemn people, and that nowadays, we're using the scripture to empower people, to enlighten you, to show you what God has done for you. Number one, Galatians 5:18. Our old passions and destructive desires have been crucified. Read this passage. This is amazing. But if you are led by the Spirit, remember the new. You're a new creation. God's desires are in you. He has given you a heart of flesh. You are now a living new creation. If you are led by that, by the Holy Spirit, you are not under the law. Saying your heart, old heart has been removed. You're no longer under the Ten Commandments. You've got new desires that God is stirring up inside of you. But I'll let the Spirit, the Scripture speak for itself. Now the works of the flesh are evident. You notice he says are evident. It's like the guys are actually saying, is it okay to be sexually immoral? Is it okay to get involved in sorcery? You know, we're free. Let's be free, and I'm going to get involved in sorcery, and I'm going to be sexually... And he's going, huh? What? It's evident. This heart here wants to do these things. Now he's kind of saying like, are you doof? But check it out. I'll spell it out for you if you really want me to. The works of the flesh are evident. This old heart wants to do these things. Be sexually immoral, impure, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so before we used to say, ha, you're going to lose out your inheritance in God. That scripture is also used against. We remember the reading glasses of we're trying to be a good Christian. Okay, so I mustn't get involved in sorcery. Tick. Okay, I mustn't get involved in idolatry. Tick. Jealousy. Oh. Okay, confess. But the scripture doesn't stop there. The scripture carries on. But the fruit of the Spirit. Here we go. He's saying, if this is evident, this should also be evident. The fruit of the Spirit, this new nature that you've got, is this. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus, that's you here, new heart of flesh, new heart of flesh, new creation, Spirit of God living in you, and you... pointing to you, point to yourself if you don't believe it just yet, who belong to Christ, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. You don't have to, you have. If you belong to Christ, you have. When you said, God, I believe you, He said, great, let me do the work, heart of stone out, boom, heart of flesh in, new creation, new desires. But Jimmy, how come I'm still sinning if there's new desires? If you've given me a heart of flesh, God, then how come I'm still messing up? And these kind of things that I identify in that passage of Scripture. And I'll get to that now. Number two, we have moved from the flesh controlling us to under another control. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, for the love of Christ controls us. Because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And He died for all. That those who live over here might no longer live for themselves. Speaking about all that, the previous passage in Galatians 5. Getting involved in all those things. Might not live for themselves, but for Him who died for their sake and was raised. And so they're saying, you've got given so much more things. You're under. The thing that's controlling you now is this new heart. This new heart that says, I've got these desires to just want to honor Jesus and love Him. And if I get involved in something on the internet, I'm click, click, click. I'm under a new control here. And what happens is that we'd like to say, come on, get this thing sorted out in your life. You've got 2 months and then we're going to start turning on the taps here. It's true. We're like time frames to get things sorted out in our life. Because if you really were a Christian, you'd get those things sorted out. And so what happens is that it's saying here is that you've got this new nature. And the more, the frequency you used to come in into the, you used to come into this thing, sin, 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 sin. And you get to know Jesus and then, hang on a sec here, my heart's changed. I don't want to do that thing now. But then you might go, okay, walk, walk, sin. Walk, 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 sin. Walk, 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 sin. Walk, walk, walk. The frequency of your sinning changes. Because this desire that was over there, your body's still going, but I like that. That's not, oh, that's nice. Oh, jealousy, coveting. Mm-hmm. I love it. And so your body's going, I remember that. But your new nature's going, we're gonna start sorting out things here, but eventually, this thing's going to rule and reign over your whole body. Number three, grace teaches us to say no to our past ways. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God, speaking about the person of Jesus, has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Does God want you to live a self-controlled life? Yes. Does He want you to live a life that's free from all those things in Galatians 5? Yes. He's doing the work. It's not up to you to say, I'm going to stop this, I'm going to stop this. What you do is you forget this. And when you remember Jesus Christ, and when you come back to this place, and you reflect on the perfect land that was, all of these things here, that God desires intimacy with us, that He is the spotless Lamb, that He has removed your sin from you, you find you become less preoccupied with, I'm going to stop, you actually become preoccupied with the cross. And you come back to that place and you go, I am in awe of You, my God. Because this new nature that He has given inside, this new desires He is busy birthing in. We need to renew our minds. And you say, how do you know, Jimmy, that your mind's still carrying this residue of stuff? I know if I'm going to pray for someone, number one, God's will is that all be healed. Number two, He has given me the authority to do that. So when you come and get prayed by me, I'm not going to sit and pray and say, Lord, would You please heal? Because I know God says, no, I want them to be healed and I've given You the authority to sort that out. So you curse that thing that's inside of them that's causing their sickness. You take authority over that thing and you rule and reign over it. I got that. Monday night comes about. And a couple of years ago, I suffered with quite hectic vertigo. For those of you that don't know what it's like going on this roundabout. And you climb off, but instead of the effect wearing down, you still feel like you're going 100 miles an hour, and you're just standing still. And Sunday night came about, and I could feel this happening. I was going, come on, Lord, this thing is a thing of the past. Why is this thing now raising its head? And I'm wrestling with this. And so I figured, the guy said, look, you've got to do these exercises, but the exercises they gave to help sort it out never worked on me. So I tried the one, and as I rolled over, I feel my head spinning all over again. I said, Lord. And you know what I said next? I said, Lord, please heal me. That's the residue of my previous life, of trying to be a good Christian. Lord, please heal this person. Please heal this person. I've come into a newer revelation that I need to take the authority that God has given me and curse this thing that's inside of me and say, lay down and die. But my default setting, my brain's still living up here. Self-righteousness. That's still residue somewhere left over in my body of saying, Lord, would You please heal me? Because my faith is just dry. I can't take this anymore. So maybe I wish I had someone else that was faith that can come up and say, let me pray for you. And they curse this thing in my body. And I'm saying, why is it that my default setting is, oh, please, would You see it passed in Your way, perchance, probably, maybe, if, you know, it could, a little crumb from the table. And He's saying, You never left my table. You're dining with me. And so I've got to renew my mind saying, get into line. Curse this thing. And I did. I said, Holy Spirit, help me with my unbelief. In Jesus' name, he says we pray in his name. In Jesus' name, this thing leave now. I did the thing as I rolled over. I had no side effects from then onwards. But that's God. That's God bringing us back into place, saying, you renew your mind on what I have said about you. And I'll get to that now, what the enemy's plans are with this. We need to reflect on these things that I've said here now. God loves us, what he has done for us, that we believe that we're 100% righteous. There are no hangers as we live on this side of them. No hangers whatsoever. That we have a new nature. Our heart of stone has been removed and we've been replaced with a heart of flesh. That we live under an open heaven all the time. That when we stumble and we do the things that we know we shouldn't do, we acknowledge that it was because of his great sacrifice that we really can still be free. And that thing we just did is no longer going to be held accountable to us, and that we can still enjoy him. This is how we renew our mind, thinking about his great sacrifice. And that God is always faithful, even when we're not. See, the devil's going to try his job from you, onto you, each and every one of you, as living in this life, is he's going to try and convince you that there is still a hanger somewhere on you. That's his job. He wants you to doubt. He wants you to doubt God's word. He wants you to say that this job opportunity that you're looking for, this financial breakthrough in your business, is conditional. If you do X, Y, Z, if you tithe, if you read your word, if you fast, if you, then only God will open up the doors of heaven for you. He's trying to do that. He's trying to say, no. This relationship, this intimate relationship with God, where he's given you a new nature, where he is living in you, we are blessed by God, is conditional on what you do. Like me when I was praying for healing. Now, God answered your prayer. When someone came up for healing, I prayed for a guy who was blind and his eyes were opened. In my life, I've done that. But now, the enemy is going to try and cause doubt again and say, no, he was faithful, but might now he might not be. You prayed back then and it worked, but might, you know, the guy's blind. You should rather just pray a safe prayer. And then a safe prayer, I'm talking about if it's God's will, that you ask God to please do it. Oh, we ask God, sorry. And not do what he has said we are to do. And take authority to it. God, you have been faithful. You are faithful and you will always be faithful. And in Jesus' name be healed. Renewing your mind. Because the enemy's going to come and cause doubt. Say, that breakthrough, that thing that you're hoping for in your family, where you can be reunited. No, my friend. Remember that thing that you said back then? No, it's not going to work. We live in an age where there is nothing that is hindering us from our relationship with God. The heavens aren't going to open and close. Conditional to how we, okay, I did what God's desire told me to do. It's going to be a little bit more open. Okay, no, I didn't do it. I know there's no hangers on me, but you know, he's going to frown. You should know better. You're my boy. You're my daughter. You should know better. It's not like that. We desperately need to come to a place where we spend our time meditating, reflecting. No hangers. I was coming into this place and I wanted to get the glasses to finalize this place where we're at now. And I thought, you know what? The best thing would be no glasses because we see him. But I chose not to. Because our God is holy. Our God is holy. He is bright. He is glorious. He is just. Because of all those attributes, we can live a victorious, glorious, sin-free, guilt-free life because he took his one and only Son, and everything that was due to us, he put upon him. And so when I look up, I see his holiness even more so. And I'm going to put the gloss here to say, like, who can look upon him? Even though I know he's a brilliant relationship, I have the most amazing relationship with my God, and it's going to get better and better and better. He's never changing. He is always glorious. Even more so now, glorious. than I knew him back when I was living in this place with these glasses on. Should we stand up and pray? Is there anything else, Steve, you wanted? Let's give God a praise. Lord, this is all for you, our Lord, our God. You're our Father, and we desperately want to come into a newer and newer revelation of this new nature that you've given us. Lord, that we want to do these things because you've given us a heart of flesh and you've taken out that old desires. And Lord, as the frequency of which we sin gets fewer and fewer and fewer, we can only but give you the glory. And that, Lord, is what you want. You want our lives to reflect what you have done for us and who you are. Lord, I pray for every single person, Lord, that where the enemy comes to create doubts in our minds, that, Lord, that there is something, somewhere, somehow, that disqualifies us from this open heaven. Lord, that we would stand with the breastplates, with the belts, with the shoes, Lord, that would say, our God has done it all. And we can live free. And we can live victorious. I want to pray for those, as there was someone that came up, I think it was Errol, kind of came up and he said, for businessmen, people that were trusting God for miracles. The Bible says signs and wonders confirm the preaching of the word. So if you are requiring a business breakthrough, not you're employed, but you own a business or you're in a business, lift up your hands. If you're requiring a substantial breakthrough. Lord, we take authority because you have given us this authority. We recognize, Lord, there is nothing that disqualifies us from taking a hold of this authority because Jesus has freely given it to us. So, Lord, where the enemy has come to distract us from the goodness of God, distract us from His eternal love, Lord, we speak breakthrough in business transactions this week like never before. People are going to say it's the end of the month, it's that time of the year. Rubbish. We know because we've taken authority right now. There is breakthrough coming in the lives of this church in Jesus' name. If you're requiring healing in any form or manner, lift up your hands. Again, Lord, we reflect on the finished work of the cross that we can stand victorious here. And Lord, we do. We speak death. We don't even have to shout it out. We just speak death to everything that would distract us from the purposes that God has called us to. That, Lord, that we are to live a free life, to be able to walk without any kind of shackles around our feet, distracting us from the purposes of God, the new desires that He has created us to live in, Lord. And so every single person with their hands upraised, life and life of Jesus Christ flowing through your bodies right now, back to its original design that God had originally planned for you. Freedom to your bodies in Jesus' name. Some of you are looking for opportunities to say, Lord, show me this new desire. I want to live in a life of adventure where I can walk with you and experience things, signs, wonders breaking out. Lift up your hands. Holy Spirit, you live within us. You said, Jesus, that greater things than these we would be doing. Lord, we build this on the foundation of grace. You are our foundation of grace, Lord. And everything that we do will be tested by fire. And Lord, that comes out of a place where everything that we build is by grace. Not by our own self-righteousness or by our own works or by our own efforts, Lord. Everything by the grace of God. Every hand that's raised now, Lord, there is already the Holy Spirit living within each person. Holy Spirit, would you help us with our faith? Lord, to recognize that we are no longer disqualified in any small or large manner, but Lord, that we have the authority to take a hold of situations, to show and display your wondrous works, your glorious heart, right across the city, right across the places where we work, right across every avenue where we find ourselves in shopping centers, that Lord, we wouldn't even have to think twice or doubt you. But Lord, that we would know that we know that you have given us this new nature, we're a new creation, and we are fully empowered to make changes here on earth as it is in heaven. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Just love you.